The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Greetings, everyone. I'm Jennifer Green for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Teen Magazines. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from theteenmagazine.com and teenvogue.com. Our first article today from theteenmagazine.com, here's how Germany's election will affect its Gen Z community. This article was written by Guadalupe Gomez on March 10th. Like many other nations, Germany is preparing for a critical election, and one party in particular is giving everyone great cause for alarm, the Alternative for Deutschland, AfD. The AfD is a Euroskeptical, nationalist, and far-right party that is strongly anti-immigration, especially from Muslim countries. Through its growing prominence, the AfD may be able to implement radical policy changes that might reshape Germany's future. Gen Z must pay close attention to this election because the policies of the AfD would drastically restrict immigration, social freedoms, and international cooperation. The party's stance is symptomatic of international far-right movements, which are a concern for extremism, nationalism, and potential threats to democracy. If history has shown us anything, it's that ignoring such political shifts can have lasting consequences. Key issues for Gen Z in Germany. AfD's potential victory would bring radical changes impacting Gen Z directly in Germany, particularly in education, jobs, climate policy, and inclusion. Already, the party opposed an increase in public spending on education, which could lead to a reduction in funding for universities, fewer scholarships, and limited apprenticeships, further complicating young people's access to higher education and stable jobs. Furthermore, their climate skepticism and opposition to green policies could delay Germany's achievements in climate change and ecological sustainability, a people's movement well-liked among young people, including activists on Fridays for Future. On the social plane, AfD's hardline anti-immigration policy and opposition to LGBTQ+ and gender rights could polarize society further and make it even more exclusionary, excluding marginal groups from protection and opportunities. But isn't it ironic that one of the party's leaders, Alice Weidel, is in a same censored relationship while advocating for policies that could harm LGBTQ+ people? Such reforms have long-term consequences on the destiny of Gen Z, shaping the labor market, environmental policies, and the German society's tolerance in general. Political engagement and future participation. Gen Z is the most significant group to decide the election. So far, the AfD has gained a lot of popularity among young male Gen Z voters. Until February 24, 2025, the result of the German election on Sunday had the AfD lose. But because it made unprecedented gains, this could mean that in the upcoming election, the AfD could steal the win. But it is important to remain informed, because people in the United States are already witnessing the change under Donald Trump's administration, and they are highly infuriated. If the Gen Z generation in Germany is not informed, repetition would happen again between Germany and the United States. Donald Trump would not have been elected if people were made aware of his regulations and what they are made of. For example, when people heard about the tariffs he was proposing, people were in favor of it even though they do not understand what tariffs are and how tariffs are imposed. And now, because Trump wants to implement those tariffs, people are afraid that prices will increase, which will lead to high grocery bills. So it is imperative to be informed when being a part of the democratic process. What comes next? If AfD were to come to power, Germany would probably see stricter immigration controls, especially against Muslim countries. The party would also run on lower taxation and deregulation, which would widen the rich-poor divide. On climate, AfD's skepticism would slow down Germany's green energy initiative. Socially, the AfD would roll back LGBTQ+ rights, gender equality, and freedom of speech protections, deepening fault lines in society. These developments can greatly affect the future of Germany, so it is important that Gen Z remain well-informed and engaged. If AfD were to win, Gen Z can navigate and counter these changes by being well-informed and actively participating in the political process. Voting, protesting, and backing organizations that share their values are strong means of being heard. By promoting inclusive policies and environmental action, Gen Z can counter the regressive policies that could arise under AfD rule. Remaining attached to causes such as Fridays for Future and LGBTQ+ rights can assist in guaranteeing their generation's agenda is heard in the future. Conclusion. The AfD's rise in Germany's election is a demonstration of political action's relevancy to Gen Z. With future shifts in immigration, climate, and social policy, youth need to be educated and mobilized to preserve their values. Through voting, protesting, and advocating for that which they stand, Gen Z can shape their future and defend the inclusive and sustainable world they envision. Civic engagement is crucial. Being watchful and active is the best way of addressing the issues that the future holds. Our next article from theteenmagazine.com, A Look into President Trump's Second Term. This article was written by Enzo Wojcinski on March 22nd. Overview. Donald Trump's executive orders during his second term have been described by many as controversial. In this article, we will be analyzing a number of executive orders that President Trump signed on his first day back in office. Executive Order 14148, Environment and DEI. On January 20th, 2025, President Trump signed Executive Order 14148, which rescinded various executive orders made by the Biden administration, including policies towards diversity, equity, inclusion, DEI, environmental regulations, and border control policies. Around the world, leaders were disturbed by Trump's radical policy shifts, showing concern for global environmental causes and initiatives for social justice. Volker Turk, the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights, criticized Trump's elimination of equity and anti-discrimination policies. The recession of these policies has led to the end of DEI programs within federal agencies and weakened environmental protections, in which many have stated that the LGBTQ+ community and environmental defense efforts have been affected. Executive Order 14169, Foreign Aid. On the same date, President Donald Trump also initiated a 90-day suspension of all U.S. foreign assistance programs, showing interest in prioritizing the American people. Many believe that this disrupted various global humanitarian efforts, including healthcare services for refugees worldwide and infrastructure projects in less developed nations. many people feel that Americans felt the impact of the order too. For example, American contractors working with overseas projects may be impacted with financial uncertainties, leading to potential job losses and economic troubles domestically. Executive Order 14168, Defining Gender. President Trump also signed Executive Order 14168, mandating that the U.S. government recognize gender based on biological attributes. The LGBTQ+ community describes this as taking away protections for transgender and non-binary people. Many global human rights organizations criticized the executive order and labeled it as a regression in LGBTQ+ rights. Many state that the order isolated the U.S. from being an ally and being supportive of gender inclusivity. With the order signed, federal funding for gender-affirming care was eliminated, leaving many of the LGBTQ+ community offended. Various civil rights groups filed lawsuits, arguing that the elimination of such programs violates legal protections against discrimination. Executive Order 14160, Citizenship. This order signed by Donald Trump sought to end birthright citizenship in the United States for non-citizen parents without legal permanent residency. Enforcing the order was made difficult due to it challenging the traditional interpretation of the 14th Amendment. Legal opposition quickly acted against the order, with federal judges filing injunctions blocking its enforcement. International human rights organizations also reacted negatively, with many calling the order discriminatory and contrary to established norms. In all, many feel that the policy increased civil and governmental debates on immigration and citizenship, deepening societal divisions. Final thoughts. Overall, the executive orders signed by President Trump on his first day back in the White House sparked much debate, nationwide and worldwide. I believe that in the future, these executive orders will entirely reshape and improve the American economy and society. For example, by continuing American oil extraction and employing the most people qualified for their job, we will most likely see a period of economic prosperity in our nation. However, I think that ending U.S. contribution to foreign aid may create tension with U.S. allies such as France, the United Kingdom, and more. In the end, the American people will have to wait and see how this extreme shift in U.S. policy will unfold. Our next article from TeenVogue.com. Chapel Roan calls country music incredibly camp after releasing single, The Giver. This article was written by Ashley Carter on March 15th. Chapel Roan is embracing her country roots and flipping the genre on its head by releasing a country queer anthem. After months of teasing her new single, the Grammy winner finally released The Giver on March 13th, reminding fans that she is indeed a country girl at heart. Roan first debuted the fiddle-heavy song during her performance on Saturday Night Live in November 2024, but made fans wait several months for its release. After a long campaign of fun billboards and cosplaying as male-dominated jobs, Roan's The Giver finally came out. In a recent interview with Apple Music's Today's Country Radio with Kelly Brannon, Roan broke down her process of creating the song and explained how incredibly camp country can actually be. Both Roan and Bannon spoke about how queer country music can be, right down to the chaps, despite the genre often being dominated by cis white men and women. But despite the underrepresentation for openly queer country stars, Roan pointed out that those making the music and many fans are often part of the LGBTQ+ community. Even if it's not the artist that's gay singing, girl, those backup singers, those girls on tour, the people playing banjo, there are gay people making the music, Roan said. There are a lot of drag queens who do country music all over the world. Name a girl who hasn't done Before He Cheats by Carrie Underwood. She continued, let's not cut off the fans that are gay and love country. Roan said she found inspiration for the single through artists including Shania Twain, Alan Jackson, Miranda Lambert, George Strait, and others. She also said she used Nashville singers and musicians to create the sound. While the lyrics poke fun at the stereotypical country boy in the song, Roan also expresses gratitude for those she grew up with for many reasons, including teaching her to stand up for herself. It's different where we grew up, Roan says of her upbringing in Southwest Missouri, where she says she was surrounded by boys who often talked down to women and girls. I had to unlearn that. You are not going to make me feel inferior just because I'm a girl, she said. I was not just born with that. Roan also said that she once felt she left everything behind in Missouri after she moved to Los Angeles and had a revelation about her queer identity, but now realizes that country music never left her. It's in my blood. I don't hate myself for not knowing everything about the queer culture at the time. I don't hate myself for coming from Missouri and not knowing any lesbians. I don't hate myself for being closeted and hating myself, she said. I'm not mad at myself for doing that. It's all I knew what to do. Chapel Roan said that she took a pretty painful part of her upbringing in the Midwest and turned it into a song of joy. I think I have a special relationship to where I'm from because of country music. So, to honor that part of myself by making a country song where it's like, you know what? I am gay. Yes, I am ultra pop. Yes, I am a drag queen. You can also perform a country song. Our next article from TeenVogue.com. Rachel Zegler says Ariana Grande supported her amid Snow White backlash. She is so deeply kind. This article was written by Sarah Nesbig on March 20th. Landing the role of Disney's first princess, Snow White, was a pretty big deal for Rachel Zegler. But starring in a live-action remake of a beloved animated classic can be a rocky journey. And as the actor recently told Allure, she had a few famous friends reach out to offer support, including Glinda the Good herself, Ariana Grande. She reached out to me, kind of apropos of nothing, and was like, if you need anything, I am here, Zegler explained, calling Grande so deeply kind. Zegler had nothing but praise for the Eternal Sunshine singer, saying, she has gone through so much in the public eye, and I have always really, really admired her courage in the face of all of that. The actor told Allure that she has no interest in competing with her fellow actresses. All I'm ever really looking for in this business is a sister, and they're not always easy to find, Zegler explained. We're often told that other women have to be your competition, and I don't subscribe to that. I've come to know that in the last couple of years, in search of female friendship in the industry, there is room for all of us, no matter what anybody else will have you think. When Zegler was officially cast as Snow White, she faced racist backlash from trolls who were up in arms over an actress of color taking on a role that had traditionally been depicted as white. Backlash she expertly shot down on X, formerly Twitter, in her signature whip-smart, no BS manner. Extremely appreciative of the love I feel from those defending me online. But please don't tag me in the nonsensical discourse about my casting. I really, truly do not want to see it. So I leave you with these photos. I hope every child knows they can be a princess no matter what, Zegler wrote at the time. The reality is, I was given a chance because I could sing, Zegler said to Allure about her casting. My only prayer for the future of diversity and inclusion is that we invest in and nurture talent no matter what they look like. Zegler, who is half Colombian, also opened up about having a bunch of white executives have you prove your identity to them. During the casting process for West Side Story, Zegler said film execs kept asking if I was legit. I remember thinking, do you want me to bring my abuelita in? I will. I'll bring her into the studio if you want to meet her. It's an interesting experience being part of that diaspora in the current climate we live in, she added. But I love being Colombian. And we love our newest Disney princess. Our next article from TeenVogue.com. Jade Carey posted about girlfriend, marking the first time she's spoken publicly about her sexuality. This article was written by Brittany McNamara on March 20th. Jade Carey is happy, and it shows. In a new Instagram post, the two-time Olympic gold medalist announced that she has a girlfriend in what People reports is the first time she's publicly mentioned her sexuality. Carey's post shows she and girlfriend Amy Sinicola smiling across a carousel of four photos, captioned simply, happy heart, lock emoji, stars, heart emoji. Sinicola, the director of creative content for the University of Oregon Ducks, has posted Carey to her Instagram feed before. But this seemingly marks the first time that Carey has featured her girlfriend. Sinicola posted Carey's photos to her Instagram story with a simple ILY. Sinicola also reposted someone's story about her and Carey's relationship, which said, "Representation and visibility are so important. Sport will always be a catalyst for change and inclusion. Takes folks being brave and their most authentic selves in these spaces. Proud of you, Jade Carey, and beyond happy for you and Amy Sinicola." The 2024 Olympics marked the first ever out LGBTQ athletes competing in the Games, with 195 competitors across 32 sports, according to GLAAD. Trans athletes still face significant barriers to inclusion at the Olympics and in sports in general. While an improvement in representation, that's only 2% of all Olympic athletes, according to them. As them notes, it's not always safe for athletes from certain countries to be out, and beyond that, some people might not feel comfortable openly identifying as queer in their sport because of stereotypes or a lack of acceptance. That's why Carey's post is so notable. More representation empowers more people to feel safe and comfortable in being open about their own identity. There were tons of supportive comments under Carey's post, many from fellow Olympians, including Simone Biles and Jordan Chiles. "Freaking cute," Biles wrote with a red heart. "Period," Chiles commented, also with a red heart. Pommel horse guy Steven Nedorochik even chimed in, cheering the relationship on with a "Go Jade!" Our next article from TeenVogue.com. Benson Boone says he didn't know much about Taylor Swift before opening for Eras Tour. This article was written by Sarah Delgado on March 13th. "We thought everyone Taylor Swift tapped to open her Eras Tour was a massive Swiftie, but it looks like that's not the case. At least, not for Benson Boone." In case you need a little refresher, before Benson Boone did multiple backflips in front of Taylor Swift at the Grammys, the duo actually already breathed the same air when Swift tapped Boone to open for her at London's Wembley Stadium back in June. Boone was one of the three artists Swift selected as openers for that run, alongside Mett and Griff. Griff is a major Swiftie, and Mett worked with Swift in Cats. However, Boone did not have a direct connection, and it looks like he hadn't entirely brushed up on his Swiftie knowledge back then. In a new interview with Rolling Stone, the Beautiful Things singer admitted he actually didn't even know much about her when he got the call from Swift for the gig. However, he did know that being a Swift opener was no small feat. "Her team reached out, and I literally, like, est my pants," Boone continued. "I could not believe it. It was insane. So I started listening to more of her music. I didn't want to go to that show and not know anything." After going down the rabbit hole, Boone went from Swift ignoramus to Swift connoisseur, and, in fact, he now counts as one of her biggest inspirations. "She is an unbelievable performer and has an unbelievable world built around her that is unmatched," Boone admitted in his interview. "It is incredible to see how vastly gigantic her show is, just countless moving parts behind the scenes that nobody knows about. She is one of a kind, such a genuine person. I got the privilege to talk to her for a while, and she's so kind." Boone added that being part of the Eras Tour changed his perspective on so many things that he wants to carry into his own career. He added, "Just the way I treat people and my crew, watching the way that she treats people. There's a lot of people who don't like Taylor Swift. Everybody is entitled to their own opinion. But if you have something against her and you don't know her, I don't think that is fair." A Swift transformation, indeed. We've run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazines. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jennifer Green, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Teen Magazines is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. We thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.